I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about hearing the voice of God. The question is not, does God speak? The question is, do you listen when he speaks? Okay. I want to read from Isaiah chapter 6 and beginning at verse 8. Isaiah says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Notice Isaiah said, he heard the voice of the Lord speak. God speaks. Turn to your neighbor and tell them God still speaks today. If ever God spoke, God is still speaking today because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If ever a man or a woman heard the voice of the Lord like Abraham heard, when Abraham was living in Ur of the Chaldees, in an area which is known today as Iraq, and God spoke to him and told him to get up and leave his kinfolk. A lot of us would like to leave our kinfolk, wouldn't we? Never mind, I take that back. People have unsaved loved ones and unloved saved ones, you know what I mean? Now don't look at me like that. God said, get up from your kinfolk and go to a place that I'll show you. Imagine getting on the highway, starting to drive, not even knowing which way to go. And yet, that's what God spoke to Abraham until he arrived at a place that we know today as Israel. God spoke all through Abraham's life. And he also spoke in the life of Joshua. And he heard the word of the Lord that he was to lead the people into the promised land. And he also spoke to Moses. He said, what do you have in your hand? Lift it up, and the waters will part. And they did, and they walked across on dry ground. He spoke to Samuel when Samuel was just a little boy. And Samuel became the great prophet who wound up anointing Saul to become king, and then David to become king, as well as others to become kings in that time. Mary heard the voice of the Lord. You are highly favored among women, and you're going to give birth to the Christ child. She heard the voice of the Lord. John heard the voice of the Lord, saying, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. Well, that was Bible times. Does God speak in these times? Yes, he can speak to anybody at any time. As a matter of fact, he spoke in the Bible through a donkey. Okay? So there's nothing that's too hard for God. God is not limited to time or space. And I want to share several things. You might want to get a pen, a pencil, piece of paper, your smartphone, your dumb phone, whichever phone you brought. And let me share with you some ways that God speaks. Now, here we are in a prophetic church. Your pastor, my friend, Pastor Hank Kuhneman, is a prophet of God. We see him on Flashpoint. We see him in conferences. I have known him personally now for these some 16 years. And I thank God. I thank God for that. I remember when Pastor Matthew was just a young teenager and Jonathan was just running around standing on chairs. Now he's knocking people over in chairs. And I want to see that fight. What's the date? August 19? I want to see. I hope that's live on TV or some pay-per-view or something. I'd like to see that. I remember the times I had in prayer with their family. And I remember the prophetic words that have been given over me. God speaks through prophecy. Prophecy points the way, okay? Prophecy points the way. My father prophesied over me. My father, Oral Roberts, as a healing evangelist, also occasionally spoke prophetic words. And I remember when I was just 19 when he prophesied over me that I would have a healing ministry. I was not interested in God. I was not interested in the healing ministry. I had no desire. I wanted to be a nightclub entertainer. I wanted to go to Las Vegas. I'd been offered a contract at the Sahara Hotel to sing in their lounges. I wanted to go out and become a star and come home and jam it down their throat for all that I had been through in my life, being the son of Oral Roberts. You know, but he prophesied over me. He said, son, I see you standing before kings and queens and presidents and prime ministers in nations all over the earth. I see you having crowds twice as big as I had in nations around the world. He said, I see you operating in the word of knowledge, whereas I, he said, have laid hands on people. You will speak through the word of knowledge, and the power of God will come down through you and come down your arm and down your shoulder and in your hand, and the power of God will flow out of your fingers. And when you stretch out your hand on television, which I didn't know I was going to be on, people will be healed where they sit. I was 19. I wanted to do my own thing. Well, I was so touched by that prophetic word that came into my life that I rolled out of bed and got on my knees and prayed a sinner's prayer and asked Jesus to come into my heart. My life was transformed. And later that evening, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And my life was changed. It changed through a prophetic word. Thank God for prophecy. You must have prophet. Now, most churches are non-profit corporations. I'm just saying. Many people are scared of the prophetic voice because they're afraid that the Holy Spirit is going to reveal something that they don't want known. But God doesn't do that. His word is always encouraging. It's always lifting. It always lifts you up. Thank God for the prophetic word. God still speaks through the gift of prophecy. And he speaks every week here in this church. And by the way, I am stunned by the growth that I am seeing in this church. Now, I've been coming here probably maybe every other year, Matthew, for 16 years, probably the 8th or 10th time that I've been here. I've been in conferences here. I've been in church services. I've been in good weather. I've been in bad weather. One year I came in January, 4 degrees below zero, and the building was still packed out. So I've watched the growth all through these years. I remember when nobody in America knew who Hank Kuhneman was. Now, believe me, people know who he is now. More than that, the devil knows who he is. Because he's speaking prophetically just about every week, except when he's camping. So God speaks through his prophetic voice. Then second, he speaks through his still, small voice. That's that little voice inside you. I saw a cartoon once where this cartoon character had a little angel on one shoulder and a little devil on the other shoulder. And both of them were speaking into the ear of this cartoon character. And I thought to myself, well, that's a cartoon, but it may not be too far from the truth. Where you're hearing the voice of God and the voice of the devil coming at you at the same time. Do you know what I mean? I remember our children were little, and we had gone out to California to visit my parents who were living in Southern California at the time. When I became president of the university, my mother and father moved to California. And we went out to visit them, and we were staying in a hotel on the 17th floor of a big hotel. And we were scheduled to preach the next morning over in Riverside for my longtime friend, Ron Halverson, who has a great church over there. And at 5 o'clock in the morning, we were awakened by a 7.3 on the Richter scale earthquake. Now, we were on the 17th floor. We had two rooms with an adjoining door, our three children, and a young lady who was traveling with us to help us with the children. And suddenly, the floor was doing this. And the walls were rattling, and the pictures and the paintings were falling off, and our children were trying to get out of bed, and I was grabbing them and holding on to them and trying to figure out how in the world we were going to get out of this hotel on the 17th floor. And the walls are doing this, and the floor is doing this, and the devil is just yelling, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're not going to get out, you can't take the elevator, you won't make it down the stairs, you, your wife, your children, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die. When all of a sudden, this still small voice inside me said, I've called you to 40 nations and you've only been to half of them. I'm talking about the still, small voice of the Lord. It comes inside you and fills you so that suddenly you know that you know that you know. I mean, you know what you know when you know. You just know. Oh, how do you know? You just know that you know that you know. You just know. Look at the life of Elijah. Elijah had said, it's not going to rain until I say so. And then he had to get the hell out of town because Jezebel hated him. And he wound up in a little brook called Cherith, where he drank from the brook, and the ravens came and fed him, and which is unusual for ravens. Crows, they're scavengers. They don't feed you, they take from you. And when the brook dried up, he had to go to a little town that God sent him to, where he said, I've commanded a widow to sustain you. The most unlikely person in the world. And when he got there, she was making her last supper, making a little pancake for my boy and me, and we're going to die because the drought is so bad, we have nothing else. Just a little oil and just a little flour, and that's it, and we're going to die. And the prophet said, give me the first portion. Now, doesn't that sound like a preacher? You're talking about crypto this morning, Pastor Doug. Doesn't that sound like a preacher? Give me your last crypto. I didn't say Krypton. This is not Superman. Give me the first portion of your last meal. Can you imagine what CNN would have done with that? What the Omaha newspaper would have said, prophet takes widow's last meal. For thus saith the Lord, he said, your meal barrel shall not diminish and your cruse of oil shall not fail. And she gave him the first portion and they ate. And when she went back to that meal barrel, there was enough. And there was enough oil for another meal and another meal and another meal and another meal. And day after day and week after week and month after month, the historian Bible teachers teach that she cooked 1,000 meals out of that empty barrel until the rains came and they could plant their crops again. He goes back to town and has a contest with the prophets of Baal. Kills them all. You can do that then. You can take out your sword and kill them all. And he did. Kill 450 prophets of Baal. After that, he had to run for his life because she put out a contract on him. She put the mafia on him. And he wound up under a tree and the angels had to come and feed him. Whining, griping, complaining, God, I'm the only one doing this, God. Why has all this happened to me? Are you a complainer? Look straight ahead. Don't look to your right or left. And he wound up in a cave, hiding. And first there was an earthquake. And next there was a wind. And next there was a fire. But God wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the wind. He wasn't in the fire. Then the Bible says the still, small voice of God came to him. He said, come out of the cave. Go down and anoint this one to be king and anoint this one to be king and anoint Elisha to take your place. The still, small voice of God. But it's hard to hear the still, small voice of God when you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off. That's why the Bible says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Question is not, does God speak? Question is, do you listen when he speaks? When you hear that still, small voice on the inside and you say, well, where did that come from? It came from God. Listen to that voice. It may come through prophecy. It may come inside you. The first time I heard the Lord speak to me, I don't know really if I heard heard it with my ears or if I heard it inside me, but I heard it clear as a bell. I heard it just like I hear it every Monday through Friday on television when God gives me words of knowledge and I speak those words and people call in our Abundant Life prayer lines and testify of healings. It'll happen tomorrow. It'll happen on Tuesday. It'll happen on Wednesday. It'll happen on Thursday. It'll happen on Friday because it happens every day. I hear that inside me. I don't hear it over a PA system like with a microphone, but I hear it inside me. I hear that somebody's got cancer, and if I'll speak that word, somebody will be healed. And we're seeing cancer healings every day. We're seeing healings of diabetes and high blood pressure and arthritis and all types of things every day. That's why we call the program The Place for Miracles. Thank God for his still small voice. Praise God. And then third, he speaks through dreams and visions. Dreams and visions. You say, well, some of my dreams are nightmares. Well, I understand. Joseph must have thought that his dreams were nightmares. Laying there in the prison for years, after having served the Lord all of his life, and he had dreamed, he saw the sheaves coming down and bowing down before him, and the sun and the moon and the stars, and his boys, his brothers, hated him so much because God had favored him, and his father had favored him and given him a coat of many colors. And one day when they're out in the field, they decided to get even with the dreamer, and they threw him in a pit and were about to kill him. When suddenly they saw a caravan of slave traders coming by, and being good Jewish businessmen, they decided to sell him. And he wound up in Egypt working for a man named Potiphar. And pretty soon he was the head of the household of Potiphar. And his wife had longing eyes for him. You know, she rolled her baby blue eyes at him, and he picked them up and rolled them right back at her. Yes. And before long, she claimed that he had raped her. And Joseph found himself in prison for a crime he didn't commit. He must have thought those dreams he had as a young man were nightmares, but they were from God. They were dreams from God. And one day he was able to interpret Pharaoh's dream, the king's dream. And because Pharaoh was so pleased with it, he brought him out of prison, put the royal robe around him, and made him the vice president of the nation. And he was the one who gathered in all the surplus during the 7 years of plenty, for the 7 years of famine that the prophecy said, or the dream, I should say, had said would happen. And sure enough, his whole family, in fact, the whole nation, had to come and bow before him, just like God had said in a dream. A lot of you have had dreams. And I'm not talking about the kind of dream that you know you dreamed, but when you wake up, you forget what you dreamed. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about dreams that are inside your heart, that you know. You know they are of God. Don't let go of your dream. Don't turn loose of your vision. God is not finished yet. I know that there are people who say that Jesus is coming this fall. I saw a sign driving up here with Dr. Jeff yesterday. It said Jesus is coming soon. The soon indicated he was coming, you know, within the next few weeks. Well, maybe he is. I don't know. That's not my job to figure that out. Stop trying to figure that out. People trying to figure it out are trying to be too doggone analytical. Stop trying to figure it out. Even Jesus doesn't know when he's coming. Only the Father knows. Now, he may come next month. He may not. I don't know. I was raised by a family that believed you are to be prepared for his second coming in the twinkling of an eye, but to work like he's not coming for 1,000 years. Well, I'm not going to buy insurance, you see, because Jesus is coming. Well, how dumb can you get and still breathe? Don't turn loose of your dream. Don't turn loose of your vision. God's not finished yet. The last chapter has not been written. And then fourth, he speaks through his word. He speaks through his word. And he writes like he talks, and he talks like he writes. You can always tell when it's God, because it'll be confirmed by the Bible. I remember one night, it's been some years ago, at that time, we were doing a live TV show at night. I've done a live TV a lot in my life. Over all my lifetime, I think I've done some 25 years of live television, either during the day or at night. Now I'm doing it in the morning or at noon. But at one time back in the 90s, I was doing it at night. And one night, Lindsay and I were on television, and clear as a bell, I heard the voice of the Lord inside me say, "Put up your hands and tell people to come touch your hands and pray for them." Now, we were live on the air that night when that happened. And It stunned me, first of all. And I didn't do it because I was scared. I was scared because of what somebody might think. And I was talking to the Lord under my breath while I was talking on television live. Have you ever talked under your breath while you're talking to somebody else? You know what I'm talking about. I'm having an argument with God, and I'm telling you, I don't want to do that. God, there are people out there that think I'm crazy already. I don't want to help them to believe it even stronger by putting up my hands and making it look like I'm making a spectacle out of my hands. And so I disobeyed God. I did not do it. Well, the program was over, and Lindsay and I went back to our house. And I was really suffering because I knew how I had disobeyed God, but I just didn't want people to think I was some kind of nut. And so Lindsay said, well, why don't you call your dad? He was out in California. So I called him, and I said, Dad, a funny thing happened on the program. He said, well, I was watching you tonight. And he said, what happened? I said, well, right in the middle of the program, the Lord said, put up your hands and tell people to touch your hands as you pray. And I said, Dad, I didn't do it. He said, why not? I said, I did it because I was embarrassed. I didn't want somebody to think I was a nut or crazy. People think I'm nuts anyway. You know, they mock me, and I don't. And the Lord or my father began to laugh, and I said, "What's so funny? Why are you laughing?" And he said, "Open your Bible to the Book of Acts." He took me to the scripture where it said, "God wrought special miracles through the hands of Paul," and I had a scripture. I knew I was backed up by the Word of God. The next night, I said, Lord, if you would, say that to me one more time. I'm not just going to do it. I'm going to wait till you say it. Next night, about halfway into the program, sure enough, I heard the Lord say, put your hands up like this and begin to pray. Man, my hands shot up. I said, come over to your television screen. Put your hands up against my hands. Let my hands be a point of contact for healing. There was a woman who was watching that night. She had stuttered for 40 years. When she heard me say that, she ran over to her television, put her hands up against my hands. And after 40 years, her stuttering stopped. I'll never forget it. Ever since then, that's been years ago, ever since then, I've never been ashamed to put my hands up and say, let my hands become a point of contact. Let me tell you what, I'm going to say it again. God speaks like he talks, and he talks like he speaks like he writes, and he writes like he talks. When you have a word from God, it will be confirmed in the Bible, or it's not from God. That's how you tell. You talk about a litmus test? This is it, my friends. This is the litmus test. But this word isn't going to get in you until you put it in you. I was in the home of one of our partners, and we had sent them a Bible with their name on it. And they said, Richard, we want you to see our Bible. And they went over to the counter, and they picked it up, and they dusted it off, and they showed it to me. The pages were still stuck together. Won't do you much good on the shelf. Only does good when you sow it into the garden of your heart. Now, my wife wears out Bibles faster than I do. She came in one morning and she said, have you seen Hebrews? I said, what do you mean? She said, Hebrews fell out of my Bible. It's because she's using it a lot. My Bible gets all marked up. I use yellow, blue, I use purple writing in my, you know, my Bible gets beaten up. Sometimes I got the devil coming at me. I don't know what else to do but stand on the Word of God. So I throw it on the floor and stand on it. Say, devil, heaven and earth will pass away, but God's Word will not pass away. I stand it on the Word of God. You know? You say, well, my Bible's falling apart. Well, if your Bible's falling apart, thank God you aren't. You've got to sow it into the garden of your heart. Now, you all see Joel Osteen on television. His daddy, John, was a mentor to me. Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas. John took me under his wing when I was a young man. And I put, my dad and I put Joel and all of his brothers and sisters through school. In fact, his sister was homecoming queen. And during my years as president, I walked her around the basketball court on homecoming night. And she wore the homecoming queen. But the Osteen family has been so precious to me. And John taught me that the word that God speaks is alive. It's full of power. It's active, it's energizing, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And when that word gets in you, you become alive. And you become full of power, but it doesn't activate until you sow it into the garden of your heart. Because when Satan comes, and he will come, when he comes, you don't have time to say, time out, devil. Let me go find my Bible. I'm sure I saw it here a few weeks ago. You sow it into the garden of your heart. And then out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. But you are going to speak what you haven't learned. That's another way that he speaks, is through the Bible. And then the final way I want to share this morning, he speaks when you pray in tongues and you stop and you interpret back. There are a lot of people today in Christian circles who do not believe in the power of speaking in tongues and interpreting like the Apostle Paul taught. You can read about it in 1 Corinthians 14. Paul said, let him who prays or her who prays in an unknown tongue pray that they also may interpret. Now, I know people who pray in tongues. I know people who don't pray in tongues. You're not going to go to heaven because you pray in tongues. You're not going to be kept out of heaven because you don't pray in tongues. You're going to go to heaven because you believed on Jesus. And that's all there is to it. You know, if people say, well, I'll pray in tongues when I get to heaven. No, you won't. You won't have any need to. Because the Bible says, then you'll know. Okay? Praying in tongues is for down here. Praying in tongues is to build us up on the inside and also to give us direction and to hear from God. That's why praying in tongues is so important. And after you pray in tongues, that you stop and you interpret, you pray in your own language, and God gives you understanding and ideas and new insights and new concepts and new and innovative ways of doing things like never before. And the world can't do it. They have no clue. Only those who are born again can pray in tongues. I'll tell you, praying in tongues is, if not the, one of the most valuable things that I do in my life. You all are worshiping up here this morning. You're singing and worshiping the Lord. I wasn't worshiping. I was standing there praying in tongues, trying to figure out what I'm going to preach this morning. I had some notes, but I didn't know all this that I was going to say. You know, I don't overplan. I try to be a person of spontaneity. I want to minister where people are, not where I think they are. I want to get to feel you. And how do I feel you? I was standing there right there next to Dr. Jeff. I'm just praying in tongues and quietly praying. You didn't hear me. I wasn't making a spectacle out of it. I don't wear a badge that says, look at me. I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm better than you, because I'm not. I don't pray in tongues because I'm better than anybody else. I pray in tongues because I need help. I need help. I'm not that smart. Believe me, my wife can tell you that. I'm not that smart, you know. There are a lot of things I don't understand. But when I begin to pray in tongues and then I stop and I pray in English, things come out of my mouth that I haven't thought of. Suddenly I get ideas and insights and I get understanding and I know what to do. I knew where to go and I know what to do when I get there. That's how God leads me. And that's how God speaks to me. Those five ways are five ways that God will speak in your heart if you listen and if you'll obey in Jesus' name. Now raise your hands up like this and say this out loud. Father, today I've heard your word and I receive this word. I want to hear you. I hear other voices, but I want to hear you. And I thank you that you're no respecter of persons, that if you'll speak to Abraham, if you'll speak to Moses, if you'll speak to Daniel, if you'll speak to David, if you'll speak to Elijah, If you'll speak to Elisha, if you'll speak to Mary, if you'll speak to Peter and Paul, then you'll speak to me. And I thank you, Lord. My ears are open. No matter how you choose to speak, I will receive it. But more than that, I'll be obedient to what you say. In Jesus' name. Now somebody give praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise today. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Now who needs healing in your back today? Stand up. Who needs healing from pain in your back? Who needs healing from pain in your shoulder? Stand up. Prayed for my dentist the day before yesterday, you know. Don't usually pray for my dentist. But he'd had an injury, and I prayed for him. And God healed him. Who has a need of healing in your knees? Or your feet, or your hips? Because it's only going to take a moment. Only a moment for God to touch you. And here's what's going to happen. I'm going to begin to pray. And I'm going to stretch out my left hand because that's the hand that God said he would anoint. And when I do, there's a power that's going to flow down my arm into my hand and it will shoot out of my fingers. Because it happens every time I pray for someone. And when it begins to come out of my fingers, it's going to begin to touch people throughout this church. Healing is going to begin to happen. Now, God used my father's hands. He laid hands physically on people. But he spoke to me and said, I'm going to use the word of knowledge through you. You'll speak. He said, you'll feel that power coming up in your chest and into your throat. And when you speak, people will be healed. My father had prophesied that when I go overseas, the crowds would be so large, I couldn't lay hands on them anyway. When I was in Kenya in a crusade, we had 200,000 people the last night. And there's no way you could lay hands on 200,000 people. And so God was exactly right, as he always is. And I pray over your feet, your ankle, your knee, your hip, your back, your shoulder, your neck. You use your faith, okay? Don't look at me. I'm just an instrument. But I'm hooked up to the one who has the healing. So lay your hand on yourself right now. Look how many people are standing. My goodness. In the authority of the name. Oh, here comes healing right now. In the name of Jesus, I send that healing word into you right now. I send it to you. The healing touch of God comes into your shoulder, into your elbow, into your hands, into your feet, into your knees, into your hips. Now, Satan, you take your hands off. I rebuke this arthritis pain. I rebuke the problem, the pain resulting from the surgery. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Every pain in the hip, come out. Every pain in the knees, in the feet, come out. Every pain in the shoulder, in the back, every disc, every vertebra, spine, line up with the word of God. I send the healing word of God to you now in the name of Jesus. You foul, tormenting attack, you stop it. That's enough. In the name of Jesus. Now just lift your hands and begin to thank him and praise him for healing that's happening right now. Right now in Jesus' name, right now.